there's a little-known epidemic in Britain, dyscalculia, the numerical equivalent of dyslexia. You can't catch it, but it can certainly cause misery. In our first series, this was the subject that led to the greatest response from our listeners. But what is it exactly? Brian Butterworth is a professor of neuropsychology at University College London.
It's a specific difficulty in learning about numbers. There are many ways which people have tried to define it. The standard way is to say, well, if the child isn't dyslexic and isn't stupid, then there must be something specifically wrong with his arithmetic. But this isn't very satisfactory as a method, because there are lots of reasons why you might be very bad at arithmetic. You could have had a terrible teacher. That, I'm afraid, is my excuse. But there could be another reason why you're bad at learning arithmetic, and that's in one of the DFES guidelines, which is that you have a problem really understanding what numbers mean. And this, I think, is at the heart of why quite a large number of children have trouble learning about arithmetic. It's a kind of hidden epidemic. The best population estimates are between 3.5% and 10% of the population have this condition. I rather favour the lower end of this. Even so, I mean, that's 1.5–2 million people in this country. If you have to go through the numeracy hour every day, it's a daily humiliation, because you just find it impossible to do what all your classmates find very easy to do. And because it's whole class interactive teaching, the teacher has to ask you questions, and you're going to either have great difficulty answering what everybody else can answer easily, or the teacher will give you something which is very easy, and everybody will recognise that you're getting specially easy questions. So not only do you feel that you're very stupid, but other kids pick up on this as well. So you've got your humiliation, and you get stigmatised by the other kids. We found that they were, or could be, desperately unhappy. And of course it's very difficult for the teachers. The teachers don't know why they're failing to teach you.
Brian Butterworth's now produced a programme on a CD-ROM to screen children for dyscalculia. Michael Blastland visited a school at Thiel, near Reading in Berkshire, to try it out.
Well, I'm here at Bradfield Primary School, and we're just running Callum through dyscalculia test screener. Callum's just been working away, comparing a number of dots on one side of a screen with a figure on the other side of the screen, and he's been asked, do the number of dots correspond with the figure he's seeing, yes or no? I'm here with the head teacher, Andy. Andy, your first impressions?
I'm standing here thinking, is it going to tell us things that we don't know? Obviously we have a strong awareness of children who do have difficulty with maths already, but I'm interested to see how it will develop.
Berkshire, as I understand, has only recently recognised dyslexia.
Yes.
And here's another medical notion come along, dyscalculia. Do you think that might take some while to become accepted?
Definitely. Labels aren't necessarily in themselves very helpful. And certainly at the moment I'm very aware that teachers haven't heard of dyscalculia. Interesting to see Callum using the wrong hand. He's obviously slightly confused at times between his left and his right.
Well, we've got Callum's mum here. What do you think?
I think it's quite interesting. I think the left and right issue is potentially a problem with the programme, especially for younger children. But it's quite interesting. It looks quite simple to use. And I think anything that gives an indication of potential problems is great. You know, the younger the better, really.
Callum's now being presented with a load of simple sums, simple arithmetic, 4 plus 9 equals 13, yes or no. He's pretty quick. I don't know whether he's answering correctly, but he's very quick with his responses. Okay, Callum, it says, well done, you finished this activity, and you have one activity left to go, but we're going to interrupt you just before you finish. How's it going?
I'm not sure if I'm getting them all right, but yeah, it's quite hard to get your left and right on the keyboard.
Okay, and what about what you see on the screen? Does it look interesting?
Yeah.
Is it hard?
Yeah, some of them.
Is it fun to do?
Yeah.
We've also got here Helen Stevenson, who's Callum's teacher in Year 6. Do you welcome something like this as an aid to trying to detect people who might have particular difficulties?
I think I would welcome it as a tool for identifying children early because sometimes it does take a little while to identify those children, especially when they're changing teachers each year.
Okay, so we're now having a look at Callum's results, and it produces on a bar graph, on a performance scale between 0 and 9, how well he's done. And it says that he's pretty good. The pupil reached average or better levels on the tests of capacity, it says, so the low achievement cannot be attributed to dyscalculia. There doesn't seem to be very much low achievement, but in the addition and multiplication tests, it says the pupil appears to have been guessing the answers on the achievement test. It's possible the pupil was guessing because of an inability to answer the questions, but other causes cannot be excluded. So it gives you a few clues, doesn't it, about what might have been going on. What do you think of that bit, Andy?
I feel it makes me want to find out more about dyscalculia, definitely. It makes me feel that I would like to use the programme with other children, because I'd like to find out which of the children would be diagnosed as having dyscalculia.
Michael Blastland reporting. I asked Brian Butterworth if Callum's uncertainty about using the left and right sides of the keyboard to give his answers meant that he could be wrongly diagnosed.
We have encountered kids who have problems with their left and right, and so they might be guessing which is their left and right. But our program takes this into account. If you're guessing, then it says this child is guessing and we don't know quite why. So you have to either run the test again or do something else. The critical thing about our tests and what makes it different from other tests is it focuses on basic number concepts, and each item in the test is timed to the millisecond. So what we're interested in is not just whether the child is getting it right or wrong, but how long the child takes.
The Department for Education and Science has only just recognised dyscalculia as a real thing. Given how long it took for dyslexia to be recognised and taken seriously, does that mean you face a pretty long road?
I don't think so. One part of the DFES, the National Numeracy Strategy, has already published guidelines for dyscalculia, so I'm hoping it's not going to take 20 years for it to be widely recognised. Of course, it'll take a while for teachers and parents to recognise that the children who are having problems aren't stupid or badly behaved, but have a condition which is analogous to colour blindness or dyslexia. It's something you're born with and something that needs special attention.
What's the point, though, of this identification? You can imagine teachers saying, well, identifying someone as dyscalculic doesn't help us very much unless we're given support to help them. Is there a risk that if people use this screen, we're going to identify lots of young people with a problem but not have much in the way of help for them?
Well, there are two parts to this answer. First of all, the teacher knows that it's not her fault that the child isn't learning. The child knows that it's not because she's stupid that she can't learn, and the parents know that it's not because the child is misbehaving at school that she can't learn. So I think from that point of view, it'll reduce anxiety. And when I talk to parents who have dyscalculic children, my first piece of advice is reduce anxiety. Children know that maths is important. It's not that they're not trying. It's that they can't do it. And so what you have to do is try and create a more relaxed environment in which they can learn. There's no point in just beating them over the head with the same things that everybody else is trying to learn. But the second part is that we don't really know the best ways of intervening with children with dyscalculia. So we do need quite a lot more research in this area, and this research is only just beginning.
That's it for now, but you can count on our being back next week. In the meantime, do email us at moreorless, that's all one word, at bbc.co.uk, or write to us at BBC, Broadcasting House, London, W1A, 1AA.